Dear friends in Jesus Christ, great to see you today here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. As we think about living our Christian lives, what are we tempted to do? I think oftentimes we are tempted to, I might say, put on the blinders. Think about a horse. When it puts on the blinders, it's blocking out all the distractions. But what do we do, though, sometimes? I think we put on the blinders and we're living kind of in our own little world, and we're focusing on us and our stuff, and we're kind of forgetting about other people and the needs that they have. Why is that a bad thing? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 5 that we, as his followers, we are to be salt and light. What does that mean to be salt and light? Think about salt. Imagine taking a bite of food without salt on it, put some salt on it, and then take another bite. It makes a difference, right? Well, or what about light? Imagine being in a dark room and then the light is turned on. Big difference. What Jesus is calling us to do as ones who are saved through his finished work, he is calling us to make a difference in the world. How can we do that? We should be sharing and we should be living God's truth. I want to share with you a passage that Paul wrote to the Christians living in Corinth. And keep in mind that this would be true for us as well. He wrote to them, "You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Think about that. In other words, people see us, people hear us. Let's understand that they are paying attention to what we are showing. They are paying attention to what we are saying. So what is important for us then? It is important that our lives are in harmony with God's holy word, and our lives are pointing other people to our Lord Jesus Christ. One way that we can begin to step forward in life in a little bit different way and begin to remove the blinders and begin to think about others and begin to share God's truth is a new idea we have here at Bethlehem today, so you can get a Jesus Victory Tour shirt. And that's one way to begin to think about others and to share God's truth with others. What do I mean, a Jesus Victory Tour shirt? Well, maybe you even have a shirt like this in your drawer at home, but let me give you some examples. So if we go back to 2006, the Dixie Chicks did a world tour, and on the back of their shirt, they have all the different places where they stopped on that tour. Or what about Taylor Swift in 2013? Same thing, all the places where the tour took place. Or what about last year? Things didn't quite turn out as planned. Elton John was going to do his farewell tour, and I think it basically got canceled because of COVID-19. So now he's back this year doing kind of his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. Even the U.S. Army has gotten in on it. They also have a world tour shirt, and that includes places like Korea, Vietnam, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on. So what we're doing here at Bethlehem is something similar. So we have a shirt that we put together, and it's talking about Jesus' Victory Tour. So I want to talk with you a little bit as to what's on the front of the shirt, what's on the back of the shirt. And if you would choose, you could get a shirt and wear it. And it's a way, again, to share God's truth with others. So going right to the front of the shirt then, it has a question on there. Who won the victory? The idea is to get people thinking when they see the question, who are you even talking about? What victory are you talking about? Kind of to spark some interest here with that particular question. Now, right under the question, there's a Bible reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57. Let's talk about that here for a couple minutes. So the Bible says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law." So you know that verse, you probably know it well, but what does it mean though? The sting of death is sin. We have all sinned, so we have, in a sense, stung ourselves, And that is a sting that leads to physical death, it leads to spiritual death, it leads to eternal punishment. So we have done that to ourselves. How can sin be so powerful? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. That is God's law. So when we sin, we are breaking the law of God Almighty. So that's a very horrible thing. That's a very powerful thing. And therefore, sin is so powerful that it leads to death in all those different ways. When I think about a sting, a couple years ago, when Kathy and I were in Africa, she got stung by a scorpion. And we didn't know at the time what that sting would do to her. I found out later that there are about 1,500 different kinds of scorpions in the world, and of the 1,500, only 25 of them have a sting that leads to death. Some of them do, many of them don't, but we didn't know with the one she was stung by if that would lead to death or not. She had some pain in her leg for a few weeks as she recovered from that, but she was able to recover. When it comes to sin, some people might think, oh, that's a minor sin, that's no big deal. But God is saying, though, any sin, any violation of the law of God, that leads to death in all three ways that I've mentioned. All kinds of bad news there. But then we also have good news in that same verse. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, that's a big but, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've all sinned, we all deserve death, and yet God is offering everyone to share in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that the Son of God, he came down from heaven, he put on flesh, and then he did all that he did in order to win the victory over Satan himself, over death, and over sin. He won a total victory. Now, what did he do? Well, in AD 30, that is when he went on his victory tour. The victory tour had only three stops. Stop number one was in hell. Stop number two was on earth. Stop number three was in heaven. Now, when you see AD 30, you might be questioning the date a little bit. I don't want to take too much time with it now, but it seems pretty apparent that based on the year when Herod the Great died, most likely Jesus had to be born in 5 BC. And then people debate a little bit on the date that he died on the cross and so on, but most people would agree it was AD 30. So we could talk about that further sometime. What I want to do now is I want to talk a little bit about his stop in hell, then his stop on earth, then his stop in heaven. So first of all, thinking about his stop in hell, let's go back to Good Friday, first of all, and think about what Jesus said from the cross. So right before he died, he said, "It is finished." In other words, he said, "It has been paid in full." And then a little bit later, taking a look at what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust." Why? In order that he might bring us to God. So it was so important. Before he did what he did, everyone was separated from God. But because he took away the sin of the world, he opened the way from us sinners to God, who is holy in every way. What happened then? He rests in the tomb. On the third day, God the Father raises him from the dead. And then what did he do? It tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 3 that he went and made proclamation, that would be proclamation of his victory, to the spirits now in prison who once were disobedient. You know how in the Apostles' Creed we confess that Jesus descended into hell? This is the primary text in all of the Bible that talks about his descent into hell. I want to talk about that a little bit further by identifying, first of all, to whom did Jesus proclaim? Well, he proclaimed to those in hell. And who were those people? They were the ones who, during their earthly lives, refused to repent. So they refused and refused and refused all the way to the end. And if you look at the context there further, it's talking especially about the people in the days of Noah. When Noah was building the ark, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and yet they heard the truth and they refused and refused to repent. A very sad thing. What did Jesus proclaim? Some people think, oh, he went down there to give people a second chance. Not true at all. He went to proclaim his victory. He went to tell those people, hey guys, here I am. I'm the winner over Satan, over sin, and over death. And by the way, you guys didn't believe that. You guys rejected the promise that I was coming to do all of that work, and therefore you are here in a bad situation, and in fact, you deserve to be here because you did not repent, because you rejected me and the work that I would do, in fact, have done in order to open the way for you to be with God forever. So it's a very sad situation, but he went down there and he proclaimed his victory. Why is that important for everyone today? Well, it's very important for all of us to be repentant. We don't want to end up with those ones who are not repentant. What does repentance mean? We've talked about this a number of times already, but let me go over it again here real quick. We have the five parts of repentance. Let's keep in mind that it's always the Holy Spirit who is working all five parts within us. We don't figure any of this out on our own. It's always by the work of the Holy Spirit. So he shows us that we have done wrong. We have sinned. He shows us we are deserving of hell. He shows us we are helpless to be able to get out of that bad situation. He makes us sorry for our sins, and then he gives us faith to trust in Jesus as our Savior and for the forgiveness of our sins. So repentance is vital, but what else is vital? It is vital to continue in repentance. For all of us being in Christ, hey, that's great. But what is so vital, though, is that we continue in Christ. So every moment, day by day, the Holy Spirit wants to continue to work and show us, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we deserve hell. Yes, we are helpless to fix it. Yes, I am sorry for my sins. Yes, I have my trust in Jesus. I am clinging to him alone. He is my only way to heaven. I know that. I know I don't deserve it, but I know that in Christ, I am sharing in his victory. I'm okay because of who Jesus is and what he has done, and because the Holy Spirit has given me that gift of faith to trust in him and to continue in him. When I say that, it's so disappointing, it's so sad. I can think of so many people over the 25 years I've been here at Bethlehem, and so many baptized into Christ, so many confirmed in their Christian faith, and yet with a lot of them, I don't really know for certain, but I'm afraid with a lot of them, they are no longer clinging to Christ. Somehow they don't think their sin is such a big deal. They don't think that God would ever send them to hell. They think that somehow they have some goodness, so they're not really helpless. They're not really sorry for their sins because they continue in their sins, and they're not really trusting in Jesus anymore. Now they're trusting in themselves. That could happen to any of us. It probably has happened to a lot of people. But what is the answer for all of us? If we are in Christ, let us continue by the grace of God in Christ. And for anyone who has fallen away, simply repent. Repent. That's the answer. And God wants to work that in every single one of us. Let's go on to the second stop here. Now Jesus is going to be on earth and proclaim his victory. So think about the men and women who trusted in Jesus and who followed him. Think about Good Friday. That had to be like such a heart-wrenching thing. Here are those people. They understand the promises of the Old Testament. They understand that after waiting for 4,000 years, they understand Jesus, he is the Son of God in human flesh. He is that promised Messiah. And yet they didn't quite understand what all of that meant. And with Good Friday, all of their hopes, all of their certainties, they were dashed on that day. They were so overwhelmed. And then Saturday, Holy Saturday, Jesus' body, it's in the tomb. They had to be filled with such great sorrow. But what happened, though? The Bible tells us that on Easter Sunday morning, it says that some women, they went to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and they entered the tomb, but the body of Jesus was gone. And then it says in Luke chapter 24, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing, and as the women were terrified, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Wow, unbelievable, but yet true. Let's take a look at a couple other key events here in Luke chapter 24. The Bible tells us that those women, what did they do? They went and they reported everything that had happened, everything that had been said to the disciples, to the other disciples. However, the Bible says their words appeared to them as nonsense and they would not believe them. Isn't that so sad that the women talked about the angel appearance and all that the angel had said, and yet the other disciples, they would not believe them. What do we have going on in the world today? Many people hear about who Jesus is and what he has done, about his death and resurrection, but do they really believe? Or do they maybe sometimes say they believe, yet they really don't? Let's understand that when people actually are embracing Jesus as Savior, that is definitely going to make a difference in their lives. Think about what it says here in James chapter 2, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead. Now, does that mean that we take our faith and we add our works to it and that's how we get to heaven? By no means, but it means that when we have that relationship with Jesus, there is going to be evidence to show that reality. For example, I am physically alive right now, so you can tell that because I am moving and talking. There's evidence. When we know Jesus Christ, there's going to be evidence of that in our lives. I'm not saying here that we shouldn't be judging or condemning other people. Let's say we know someone and they're saying, I am a Christian or I have faith. But yet at the same time, we're like taking a look at his or her life and thinking, I'm not seeing it. I don't see any evidence of that relationship with Christ. Are we there to put them down or be negative? Not at all, but we are there to love them and to care about them and to express concern to them and say, I'm so glad that you're saying that you are a Christian. I'm so glad that you are saying that you believe in Jesus. But can we talk about this a little bit further? Because I'm not seeing the evidence of that in your life. I'm not seeing you gather for word and sacrament. I'm not seeing you reading your Bible. I'm not seeing you praying. I'm not seeing you have a genuine concern for the salvation of others. So to kindly approach people like that in a very positive way, I think God wants us to be that way. And then when we think about those men, those disciples who did not believe, what happens next in Luke chapter 24? Those men are traveling on the road going to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. What ends up happening? The Bible says, While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" Then what those men did is they explained the whole situation to Jesus, basically telling Jesus about what had happened to him. Of course, he very well knew, but they explained the whole thing. They talked about their sadness, and then Jesus said to those men, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Wouldn't that have been such an awesome thing to be one of those men and to hear Jesus explain how the entire Old Testament is all about him? Jesus even made that statement in John chapter 5. But let's conclude, though. Let's understand the Bible truly is all about Jesus. We might not find his name in the Old Testament, but it's all about him. From Genesis chapter 3, where we have the first promise of the Messiah, all the way through to the end of the Bible, it is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're reading the Bible, no matter where we're at in the Bible, let us look for indicators pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to share one other thing from Easter Sunday. So we're still on Jesus proclaiming his victory on earth. And it tells us here in Luke 24, Jesus stood in their midst. So the disciples were in a locked room. Jesus came, he stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he also said, "It is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." And then Jesus reminded his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." Now keep in mind that this is the part where we follow here right to the ascension. So Jesus is at the end of his 40 days now. He is ready to ascend into heaven. And now he's talking about the most important things. Let me read that one more time. He said, "It is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead the third day." Did all that happen? Yes, it did. And then, what's important? What was important then? What is important now? That repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations. A lot of times we can get talking to people about all kinds of things in the Bible. Now, for those who are already in Christ, yeah, we can talk about all kinds of other things, and we should grow in our knowledge, we should grow in our faith, and so on. But what is most important for everyone in the world, most important, is that they have repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That is most important. Having repentance, continuing in repentance, then their sins are forgiven. Then heaven is open for them. Then they are God's holy children. Then we can talk about the other things. But let's make sure, though, that we're not majoring in the minors. We're not talking about insignificant things when people really need repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Let's go on to the third stop. So we come to heaven now. So after proclaiming the victory in hell, after proclaiming for 40 days the victory on earth, now he ascends into heaven. Think about it like this. About 35 years before Jesus' victory tour, what did the Son of God do? He left heaven on a huge mission. And then after winning the victory, after stopping briefly in hell, after proclaiming the victory for 40 days on earth, then Jesus told this to his disciples on the day he ascended. He said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the remotest part of the earth." What happened then, the Bible says, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. What did he do? He ascended into heaven to do what? To proclaim his victory. That was the third stop on the tour. I want to talk real briefly here about what we have on the back of the shirt besides the tour of hell, earth, and heaven. We also have some statements at the bottom. And you know how here at Bethlehem, we try each week to identify a truth, identify something relevant, identify something inspiring. I didn't even plan the shirt out this way, but I think that's what we have here on the back of the shirt at the bottom. So what is a truth? Well, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. Let us know absolutely for certain that is true. Now, are we seeing right now the fullness of that victory? By no means. It would appear in many ways that evil is conquering over good in the world, so it takes faith to believe that Jesus truly has won the victory. I believe it. The Bible proclaims it. I hope you believe it too. One day, we're going to see the fullness of that victory. Don't give up, no matter what. What about something relevant? Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus said. Why is that? Why can no one go to God the Father in heaven except through Jesus? God's requirement is righteousness. God's requirement is sinless perfection, is holiness. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, we cannot attain that standard. But what did Jesus do? He attained that for us. He came, he lived that perfect life in our place, then he took away our sins. So only through him can God see us to be righteous, to be acceptable in his sight. That is why Jesus is the only way to the Father. We know what it says there in 1 John chapter 5. It says, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. It's so clear. It is so simple. God wants everyone to have the Son. I want everyone to have the Son. If there's anything I can do to help anyone have the Son, I'm willing to do it. But of course, all I can do is share the truth. All I can do is wear a t-shirt. Ultimately, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in order to connect people to the Son. But we can share the truth, though. What about something inspiring? Well, for everyone who looks at the back of our shirt, they should know that Jesus is inviting them to share in his victory. In reality, we are all sinners, so we are all losers. Jesus, he is the only winner, but the amazing thing is he invites all of us to share in his victory. Wow, what an amazing thing. Let us rejoice that we are sharing in that victory now. May God keep us living in repentance, sure that we have that victory in Christ. And let us look forward one day to rejoicing with God and with all the saints forever and ever. If you want to get a shirt, you can. You can see the information on the back of today's service folder. If you're not quite sure if you would ever wear it, well, you don't have to get one. That's okay. But if you want to, fill out the information. We're going to order them in a week or so, and then you can use that as a way to try to help others know the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ and his great victory. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you were promised. And then at the right time, you came, you won the victory, and we know you're going to come again. Now, as we live on earth, we pray that you would give us peace, that peace that passeth all understanding. Give us courage that we would boldly share the truth of the Bible with others, and help us that we would function as salt and as light. Use us to make a spiritual, eternal difference in the lives of others. In your holy name we pray. Amen.